We're going to continue. Am I good? We're going to continue our study on how to know you have eternal life. I mentioned in the first lesson that about this idea that you can know you have eternal life is the theme of John's letter of 1 John. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And throughout John's letter, 1 John, he's got these three components that he repeats over and over, is how you know you have eternal life. Eternal life on top of the stool, what stays, what keeps it there, what keeps it solid, is having each of the three legs, obey his commandments, believe Jesus is the Christ, and love your Christian brother and sister. And so he explains that each of these are essential for our relationship with God and knowing that we have eternal life. We've already seen that we can believe Jesus is the Christ because John proved it. He gave witnesses, he gave evidence, and we can therefore know that Jesus is the Christ. We can believe it, and we are one leg into a three-legged stool holding up eternal life and knowing we have eternal life. Now we're going to look at the second leg, as Nathan mentioned, obey his commandments. Open your Bibles to 1 John 5 again. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. We're going to see why John says obedience is necessary for eternal life. I realize I could just tell you that I think there's three legs and you're just like, I have to take it because I haven't studied 1 John in a little while. But I want to show you, I want to prove to you, just as John proved that Jesus is Christ, I want to prove to you that John shows this is absolutely essential. So we're going to read again 1 John 5, 1 through 5. And so with this, what we're going to see is obeying his commands necessary? And with this, we're going to see is that, yes, it is, because obeying is how I show love to God. Read with me 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As we discussed earlier, you're going to see... Okay, I didn't put it in there. So, as we discussed earlier, I had the verses up earlier with it color-coded, and we saw where all three of those components, those legs, were there. Believing Jesus is the Christ, obeying His commands, and also loving the brothers. And then also there were some synonyms for eternal life in there. But for our lesson tonight, I want us to focus on verses 2 and 3. So look at verses 2 and 3, and we're going to read it again. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. So I'm going to pause there. So we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. So the first point is that when I obey God's commands, I am actually showing love to my brothers. You may be like, how does that work out? Come back tomorrow. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. That's a professional tease. But I want you to notice the primary point in, I think, these verses, verses 2 and 3. Let's begin reading again. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. The primary point is that obeying God's commands is how I show love to God. I like to describe it this way, that obedience is God's love language. Some of you probably have read the five love languages, right? Of how to show love towards your spouse. And I'm not even going to name them because I'm sure I'll forget all but maybe one of them. But so there's this idea of I communicate love to someone in the way they receive love. Well, how does God receive love from me? He's told us, obey my commandments. That's how we show love to God, is the way He desires for us to show Him love. And it's always been how He's desired for His people to show Him love. Think about it. In the Ten Commandments, God states, this is how I want you to show me love. He said, I will show steadfast love towards those who love me and keep my commandments. Jesus says it this way, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do I show love to God? How do I show love to Jesus? It is by keeping His commandments. This explains that loving God is not simply a feeling. I feel like I love God. No, loving God is about action. It is about doing. It is the action that we take. And that leads to one more thing that I want you to notice from these verses. At the end of verse 3, it points out that His commandments are not burdens. God's made it. He says, I want you to love me. I want you to love me this way. Obey my commandments. And He's made it where it's not hard for you. He doesn't want for obedience to be this heavy burden that we can't bear. He has made His yoke easy and light. And He has made it where that is actually the best way for us to live. Our life is better when we are obeying God's commandments. I think we all know that. So from these verses, we learn that obeying is how God wants us to show Him love. But now I want to look at another set of verses that show how obeying His commands is essential to our eternal life. Look over at 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. In these verses, we're going to see that obeying shows I know Jesus. That is how I show I know Jesus. Read with me. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Verses 1 and 2, we didn't read them, but they show that the Him in these verses that this is referring to is Jesus. So if you read verses 1 and 2, you'll see that it's referring to Jesus. And so, what's it saying? These verses get right to the point. Pretty plain, right? How do you know that you know Jesus? You keep His commandments. In fact, if you say that you know Jesus, but you don't keep His commandments, you're a liar. Says it very plainly right there. The only way for us to truly have a relationship with Jesus is to obey His words. It's the only way. There's no other way to have this relationship. I must obey His commands. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father, obeys, who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The only way for us to know Jesus is to keep His commandments, to obey His words. There's one more example I want to show you that proves that obeying His commandments is necessary. Flip over to 1 John 3, verses 6 through 10. 1 John 3, 6 through 10. In these verses, we're going to see that obeying shows I am born of God. Let's read that. 1 John 3, 6 through 10. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. In these verses, there's a contrast of two different types of people. One who's a child of God and one who is a child of the devil. What's the difference? What's it say? The child of God does what? They practice righteousness. It's a synonym for obeying His commands. What does the child of the devil do? They make a practice of sinning. Sinning is disobeying the commands. It is rebelling against God. Two types of people. Child of God or a child of the devil. What's it connected with? Whether you obey, whether not. Verse 6 states strongly that no one who abides in Jesus keeps on sinning. The reason for this is seen at the end of verse 8. So no one who abides in Jesus keeps on sinning. The reason, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus' purpose was to destroy the works of the devil, for sin to be eradicated. So if we continue to live in sin, continue to make this practice of sinning, what are we doing? We're fighting against Jesus' purpose. He came to destroy it. We're fighting against Jesus. Now look at verse 9. The person who is born of God, who has his seed abiding in him, does not make a practice of sinning and cannot keep on sinning. So John makes it very clear in all three of these sections that we've read, all three points up here, that obedience is necessary to know you have eternal life. It's how you show love to God. It's how you know Jesus. It's how you show that you are born of God. It's necessary. So why did John write this? Why did John write all of this about obedience? Well, I want you to notice verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3. You're already in chapter 3. We've already read it. But notice again verses 7 and 8. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. What's going on? It appears there's some false teachers who have been going around deceiving people by saying, hey, it doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter You can live righteous, fine, but you don't have to. You can live sinning, fine. It doesn't really matter. What were they doing? They were minimizing this idea, this need for obedience. And isn't the same true for us today? Aren't there teachers out there saying the same type things that maybe John was fighting right here? People who are minimizing the need for obedience of God's commands? Many of these religious teachers, they become really popular. I want to hear about this Jesus guy who gives me these incredible blessings and he doesn't require anything from me. Sounds terrific. Oftentimes what they do is they hold to God's grace but ignore God's commands. Basically, what they're saying is it doesn't matter how you live. So I have an example of this. My wife, Hannah, had an interaction with a coworker of hers. This was a number of years ago. And I think it shows this idea. The coworker said to Hannah, "You look more like a Christian than I do." I'll interpret what she meant by that. Basically, she meant Hannah looks like she's obeying what she reads in the Bible. Now, this coworker said, "I'm a Christian. You're a Christian, but you look more like one than I am." And so, after Hannah kind of talked about it and asked, you know, what she thought about that, this is what her coworker's response was. "Well, grace is grace is grace." That's a quote, because Hannah remembers it very clearly in her mind. This coworker saying, "Grace is grace is grace." What's she saying? "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do. God's grace will cover me. I'm fine." Don't get me wrong. We are saved by grace. Full stop. Period. Exclamation point. We are saved by grace. We cannot do anything to earn our salvation. However, if we don't believe God is calling us to obey His commands, then we are missing a large part of God's Word. That's why John makes so many strong statements in this 5-chapter letter about obeying His commands. Because obedience is essential for us to have eternal life. Now, it's at this point in the lesson where we all get really uncomfortable. Including me. I believe these statements. I believe in the importance of obedience. I believe obeying His commands is essential for me to know that I have eternal life. But here's why it's uncomfortable. Because I look in the mirror. We all do. And maybe we've seen sins that we've committed recently. We see maybe the harsh words that we spoke in anger towards our spouse, a brother, a coworker. We see that moment when we looked at a woman with lust in our hearts. We see that time when our anxieties pushed us to fear and putting our trust maybe in money rather than trusting in God. We see when we shrunk back from saying something to our family member about God. Why? Because we were afraid of the repercussions. We see our imperfections and that we don't measure up. And what happens? The doubts start to creep back in. Our faith begins to shake. And then I come up
I tap you on the shoulder and I say, hey, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? And you might respond, I hope so. But you're not sure. But remember, God doesn't want you to have doubts. He wants you to have confidence. He wants you to have peace, not fear. And remember why this letter was written, so that you can know you have eternal life. So, how do we marry this? How do we view this teaching about obeying His commands with the reality of sometimes falling to sin? How do we know we are obeying the Lord's commands? Flip over to 1 John 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. 1 John 1, begin reading in verse 7. We learn one thing about obedience in this section right here. Obedience does not mean we are perfect and do not sin. Read with me. 1 John 1, beginning in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Continue on into chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In verse 8, John states, don't think you're perfect and don't have sin. That's lying to yourself. Don't think you don't sin. In fact, look at verse 10, where he says, if we say we haven't sinned, then we're making God a liar also. You've sinned. That's the point. So John is confronting this reality of imperfect people who are Christians, who want to know they have eternal life. They do sin. They do fall short. They are just like you and me. But now we need to see the encouraging part of these verses. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, John states that when we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with God. And what happens? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I want you to notice, this cleansing is not referring to that time when you were baptized. This is a continual cleansing that is being offered to those who what? Walk in the light. Cleanses us. Now look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will forgive us. And He will cleanse us from our sins. What? If we confess our sins to Him. Just like when David came to God after his sin with Bathsheba. How? With a broken and contrite heart, confessing his sin, God forgave him. And when we do that, when we come to God with a broken and contrite heart, poor in spirit, mourning our sin, and we confess it to God, He will forgive us. He is faithful to forgive us. Now look again at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John's not telling us all of this so that we can continue to live however we want to live. He's not trying to tell us that obedience doesn't matter. We've already seen the strong statements of John about how important obedience is and that it's essential. John wants these Christians to not sin. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. However, if we do, Jesus is our advocate. He supports us. He speaks up for us. He is our champion. And He advocates for us with His entire being. How? By sacrificing His body on the cross. He is the propitiation for our sins. I think I've said that word 10 times tonight. I don't even know if I say it right. These verses should give all of us a sigh of relief. You were feeling the tension. You were seeing how important obedience was. You were looking in the mirror saying, I'm not there. These verses should say, Okay, I can do this. I can do this. No longer do we need to fear because we're not perfect. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. We can know that God will forgive us and cleanse us if we confess our sins to Him. God will do this because Jesus died for our sins and He is standing there as our advocate. So we see, how do we know we are obeying? We know that it doesn't mean we're perfect and do not sin. So, how do we know we are obeying? Obeying is a practice of righteousness. We're not going to read these verses. We've actually already read them throughout the... Actually, we didn't read 1, 5 through... Well, 5 and 6, actually. We read most of it. But I'm going to remind you of it a little bit. In 1 John 3, 7 through 10, this was the idea of the practicing of righteousness. And John describes obedience as a practice of righteousness as opposed to making a practice of sin. You remember there was the child of the devil, he makes a practice of sinning. The child of God, he practices righteousness. That was 1 John 3, 7 through 10. John describes obedience as a practice of righteousness. Okay? 1 John 1, 5 through 10, John describes obedience as walking in light as opposed to walking in darkness. So you hear these kind of similar ideas that John's trying to paint here, and he's saying obedience, walking in light, obedience, practicing righteousness, sinning, making a practice of sin, walking in darkness. I used to have a wrong concept of these ideas. I used to think that I could be walking in light all around me, but if I sinned, I just open my eyes and I'm in utter darkness. It was like God was watching me. He's got the book of life open and my name's there. And He sees me sinning, He immediately grabs His pencil and He erases my name out. No more. But then if I repent, He's like, well, I guess I'll write it back in. And And that led me to live in constant fear. But that's not the idea that's being presented in these verses. We've already learned that obeying does not mean that we are perfect or sinless. We saw that in the previous point. I think the key word in these verses is practice. Another good way of describing it is my lifestyle. What is your practice? What is your lifestyle? Are you striving to live righteously? Do you work to obey God's commands? Then you are practicing righteousness. You are walking in the light. I think practicing righteousness is the same as practicing in sports. The basketball player practices shooting free throws. Does that mean he makes every one of them in a game? No, he fails. He misses sometimes. But his failure to make a free throw in a game does not mean he is not a basketball player. The same is true for us as Christians. Practicing righteousness does not mean we don't sin. So what is it? Obedience and practicing righteousness is this. It means we are working towards getting better. It means we read Scripture and model our lives after what we see. It means we are doers of the Word and not hearers only. It means we see the compassion or the patience of Jesus and we change our character to match His. It means we are not complacent with how we are. We are always growing to be like Him. That is obeying. That is practicing righteousness. However, we need to be warned of the opposite. Christians cannot continue in sin and rely on grace. Grace is grace is grace. We cannot see a Scripture and think, that's too hard, and just ignore the teaching. We cannot hear a lesson and dismiss it because, well, God made me this way. We cannot lie to ourselves saying, God just wants me to be happy. Therefore, He'd be okay with this choice I've made, this lifestyle I'm living. That is not obedience. That is not practicing righteousness. That is rebelling against God. Walking in the light is striving, enduring, and transforming. You may trip and fall, but you get back up and keep heading towards Jesus. Always seeking to be conformed to His likeness. This is what it means to obey His commands. To close this out, I want you to listen to the promises given throughout 1 John for those who obey. Chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light, that idea of practicing righteousness, that idea of obeying His commands, if we walk in the light, then we will have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. Chapter 2, 5 through 6. If we keep His word, obey His commands, then the love of God is perfected in us. We will be walking in the same way Jesus walked. We'll be looking like Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 17. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. 3, 4 through 10. Whoever practices righteousness abides in Jesus and is born of God. Chapter 3, verse 22. Because we keep His commandments, we will receive whatever we ask from Him. I want you to think about that for a second. Because you obey God, you ask Him for something, He'll give it to you. That's the promise. Chapter 3, verse 24. We will abide in God, and He will abide in us when we obey His commandments. And then chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever obeys His commands loves God. No longer do we need to doubt our salvation. Now we can know that when we obey His commands, we have eternal life. That's the second leg of the stool. Come back tomorrow at 3 for the third leg. Love your Christian brothers. And we'll conclude our study with knowing that you can have eternal life.